Our scripture reading for this morning is the account of Christmas as we find in Matthew. It's in the first chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. I had a parishioner years ago in Vermont. Her name was Linda. And Linda had lived with the diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia since she was a teenager. And the time that I knew her, she was in her mid to late 40s. She had not been able to work. I don't think she ever worked in her life because she was on disability and simply wasn't able to hold a job. And Linda would, at times, call me up and say, "I'm afraid." And so we had many conversations during the almost 4 years that I knew her about her fears. Most of us are generally pretty good about hiding when we are afraid. And if you have never been afraid, then there's something wrong. Because I think every one of us has been afraid at more than one time or another. But Linda couldn't hide it. Because of her mental illness, she was always afraid of something. Well, she was diagnosed with lung cancer about the year before I left Vermont and died less than a year later. And she had had cancer before, but it was in remission. And this time it came back and was not curable. And so we had what I think are probably the most fascinating conversations that I have ever had with anyone about death. And we talked about death. She knew that she was dying. And at the end, I don't know that I've ever seen anyone who faced their own death with as much courage as she did. Linda was someone who was not able to hide the fact that she was afraid. She was afraid of everything. Fear is very much what this Christmas story is about. What we tend to do with the Christmas stories, and there are only two, if you look at the Gospels, only Matthew and Luke have the Christmas story. It is not mentioned anywhere in the rest of the New Testament, including the other two Gospels, Mark and John. And the way that the Christmas story is told in Matthew and Luke is so entirely different that about the only thing that they have in common is the fact that Jesus, Joseph, and Mary are in the story. Otherwise, they're totally different. So this is the story of Jesus' birth. Perhaps we could think of it from Joseph's perspective. Much of what we consider to be a part of the Christmas story is actually in Luke. Luke has the people breaking out in song every time there's some news, and everybody is joyful, and the shepherds receive the announcement from the angel, and they are caught totally off guard, and everybody is singing all the time in Luke. There's nobody singing in Matthew's version. About the only element of the Christmas story that we generally acknowledge from Matthew is the coming of the wise men later on. What Matthew tells us is a rather dark and bare bones account of the birth of Jesus. And, interestingly enough, the Annunciation is not to Mary, who sings a song afterwards, it's to Joseph. But Joseph's not singing. He's worried. He's afraid. This is really the only window we have into Joseph. In the Roman Catholic Church, Joseph, Saint Joseph, I believe, is a patron saint of children, isn't he? For those of you that grew up Roman Catholic, I think he is. And we really don't know very much about him at all. We can guess that he probably died before Jesus was an adult, because he doesn't appear in the Gospels after the account of Jesus staying behind in the temple and having a bull session with the elders. But other than that, that's the last time we hear of him. What Joseph experiences is fear. He's in a situation he does not understand, and he's got a problem. Fear is very much at the heart of the Christmas story as Matthew tells it. What's he going to do? He's afraid of scandal. He's probably afraid that he's going to be driven out of town, he and Mary. He's afraid. Matthew's account of Christmas is not cheery, but it's a part of the Christmas story, and it's important to acknowledge that. In particular, it's important to acknowledge the fear that we find here. It seems odd that fear is the response to the expected birth of a child. But the circumstances make it pretty easy to understand why. Joseph and Mary haven't completed their marriage yet. If we look at some of the other characters involved in the story, we see fear. King Herod, afraid of a challenge to his rather weak claim to the throne, out of fear, has children in Bethlehem killed. There's fear all around. Fear is just such a basic part of who we are and what we are as human beings. We fear the unknown. We fear change. We fear the loss of control. For Herod, that's certainly what he's afraid of, a loss of control. We fear not being able to adapt to new circumstances. We are afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of losing control. And we'd like to think that we're in control of everything in our future. But in reality, we're not. We have no control over the future. In many parts of the world, and certainly in our own, fear and anxiety are a reality for many because of the shorter days and the low level of light. Many suffer from depression and anxiety. The rate of suicides goes up exponentially around the time of Christmas and New Year's. Those who live in poverty don't experience joy as we routinely associate that with Christmas. Instead, they experience fear of the future. Fear can cause us to withdraw. It can cause us to lash out in anger at others. Or sometimes we can respond to fear simply by withdrawing and just not even acknowledging that we're paralyzed. So what do we do with fear? It doesn't mean that we can't enjoy this season, but it's important to acknowledge that not everything about this time of year brings cheer and joy. What Joseph does is he decides he is going to trust in the situation and trust in God. And so although he plays, at least in the New Testament narrative, plays a minor role, Joseph is a wonderful model. Of trusting. Not letting fear hold him back, but trusting. Trusting in the love of God that he will have what he needs when he needs it. God's love, I think, sometimes comes to us in ways that we don't expect or we don't think that we need. It is easy to build up around ourselves expressions of independence and self-sufficiency, that we can do everything on our own. Contemplating Joseph and his situation reminds us of how much we need God. And how sometimes the gifts that we need the most are the ones that we don't expect. So as we come to the time of Christmas in just another week, acknowledge your fear if you're afraid. It's okay. But also trust. Trust in the God who gives us the ultimate gift, the gift of life. Amen.